This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Her Vantage and Resource Center, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. On this show, we talk to women entrepreneurs, women in business, and women up on the corporate ladder so that we get to hear their stories. Karen Clark, who has been in the recruitment industry for more than 22 years. She is the regional director of Font, which focuses on recruiting for the marketing, digital, and creative industries. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, I understand Font has released some results of the recent surveys. You've been doing surveys since 2008, I understand.
We have.
Now, this survey has some very interesting findings about salaries.
The main highlight really is that women still haven't achieved the same equity in salary as men.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
And unfortunately,
why is that? Why is that?
I think it's very topical at the moment, and I think it's a really two-pronged reason. One is that women still don't ask for salary increases. They don't really, I suppose, negotiate personally as well as men. But I think the other reason, particularly in Malaysia, is there's a lot of women choosing to leave the workforce to have family or choosing to leave the industry to have better work-life balance. And what you see then is you see women leaving the industry faster than men, but also there is still quite a significant gap between male and female.
I guess from that perspective, it is inevitable that you have this kind of difference. If men are staying longer, their median income will
exactly.
definitely go up, and women being shorter, yeah.
Exactly.
So the disparity actually only explains certain things. It's not necessarily an overt kind of discrimination, is it?
I don't believe it's discrimination. And think in the modern world today, particularly in Malaysia, where, you know, Malaysia's been very proactive about women in politics, and, you know, I don't think it's a deliberate discrimination. But globally, there are still many trends that show that women are still not paid equitably. I think we are seeing more and more topics and more discussion around this as an issue.
I printed out a copy of the survey to kind of look at the numbers. And it's interesting to note that, of course, in certain areas, men definitely do better in terms of remuneration. But in the account director, the median for women is $115,000 a year, but for the men is only $105,000.
Yeah.
So another category is also the creative director. That's where the big jump is, $140,000 for female and $110,000 for male. How do you explain that?
I think there's been a very deliberate push, particularly in the advertising sector, to really make sure they have equal representation from a thinking and a communication perspective. So women are really being encouraged to build longer careers and very much encouraged to be part of the leadership team. When you consider, you know, there's more women than men, it's quite important that women play an important role in how companies are wanting to advertise and communicate with their consumer.
When you say there are more women than men, are you talking about the general population?
Population.
Are you talking about
just in population?
Real? Is that? I didn't realize that there are definitely more women than men.
Absolutely.
Oh, now in the industry though, are there more men or more women?
The industry itself, there are more women in the industry, but at what I would call the mid-tier level, when you go into senior management, it's a much more male-dominated industry, and that's where you see the shift coming now. It's a real recognizing that leadership teams need to have equal representation of male and female.
With this disparity, which is not, like you say, it's not overt, it's not nothing to do with discrimination, is there a need to kind of put into place certain policies so that people become at least conscious that there is some disparity and to kind of make up for it?
That's a question I think that people have asked many times over a number of years. And the countries that have put in what I call positive discrimination policies or quota systems have tended to ended up being discriminatory by nature, because no longer are they looking at the best person for the job. They're starting to make decisions based on
gender.
So I think there's just more education needed to the market, and I think it needs to be continued to be a topic of discussion.
What needs to be done in the context of women in the workplace so that they stay there longer? Or is it something so culturally entrenched that, you know, once after about 5 years, I'm going to get married, I'm going to go and leave the world of work?
I think in Malaysia particularly, there needs to be more done to keep women in the workplace by making workplaces more family friendly. So there is a lot of talk about flexible working hours, but, you know, you don't see many companies really doing it. You know, transport, parking, getting to work continues to be a very big problem, particularly for women with children. And then you have the childcare situation where still there is a significant gap in childcare available to what the demand of the market is. So until, I suppose, as a country, we start addressing those three issues, particularly in the KL area, I think you're still going to see women leaving because, you know, family is first.
So when these issues are addressed, you think we'll have, in terms of the workplace, a greater parity between men and women?
I definitely think it will have some impact because women will be in their careers for longer term, which means they will progress into more senior and higher paid roles. I still think the disparity exists because it's a disparity, but I certainly think that we would see more women in those more senior roles and certainly a longer stay in the industry.
What role does qualifications play in this disparity?
You would think that qualifications would actually directly relate, but according to our survey, the females that we surveyed were higher educated than the men. So the proportion of females we surveyed had high qualifications, but that didn't equate to high pay. So qualifications doesn't really seem to be playing much of a role in terms of salary equity.
In terms of the roles that the men and women play in the creative industries that you recruit for, so it's the digital, the marketing, is there a bias in the context of that men do some things better and therefore we would hire a man to do certain tasks, which at this point, for instance, digital marketing is like everything?
Yeah, so there's definitely some preconceived ideas in the market, and we are certainly seeing that sort of play in the recruitment process. So there is a feeling or a belief that men understand technical IT related kind of practices better than female.
So science as the domain of males.
Yeah, so IT, if you think about in the past, was really a very male-dominated industry. The digital part of marketing, even though it's not IT, there is certainly a feeling that that is more of a male skill set. And so there's certainly some bias in the market at the moment in terms of who's best suited for those roles. We see more and more females being involved in social media, more PR communications type activity. So, yeah, there's disparity both ways.
Is the gap between male pay and female pay closing?
It certainly is in Malaysia, which is very encouraging.
That's good.
So the survey showed that in other countries, and particularly your neighbours, Singapore, the gap is actually widening. So it's quite encouraging to see that it is narrowing. It's still a gap, and I suppose that's, at the end of the day, what we need to keep reminding, but it's definitely better.
Is there any country in the world where employment for male and female is so equal that they get equal pay?
No, unfortunately not.
Karen Clark, the Regional Director of Font, a specialized recruitment company. Up next, what are employers doing right and not doing right? This is Her Vantage on Resource Center, BFM 89.9, the business station. You're listening to Her Vantage, a show which speaks with women in business to hear her story to better understand her perspective. Now, we've been talking, Karen, about, you know, very specific creative industries. I suspect the kinds of issues that they face are not just confined to them.
Absolutely. It's a general market issue, really.
So what are employers, I mean, I hear employers saying, we cannot find the right talent. What are they not doing right?
I think generally the market has become much more skilled. So there is definitely a shortage of skilled people in Malaysia, and that's very topical, and lots of discussion around, you know, the education system being able to produce the numbers of skilled workers that are needed. So there is actually a talent shortage, particularly in your more technical skilled areas. I think where companies are probably not doing enough is really being able to look at fresh talent and building fresh talent through their organisation to provide them with the skill sets they need. So, you know, graduate programs, which were very popular for many years, pretty much gone by the wayside unless you're talking to the large law or accounting firms. But lots of people started their careers as grads and they learnt their craft and the trade of their business. We see less and less employers being patient enough to wait for that kind of development.
I hear what you're saying in terms of, you know, we need to cultivate this new group of people. But at the same time, if there is a shortage of talent, mm-hmm. and yet you look at the pay based on your survey, I'm trying to tie it back to the survey, the overall pay scales remuneration has dropped from last year. Why is that? There seems to be some kind of a disconnect between
what's happening.
Yeah, if the supply is limited, then you would pay to draw talent, and yet the pay has gotten down.
Yeah, so our survey is quite unique in the sense that in our industry, it definitely went down. And really the reason it's gone down is because the industry is growing at such a pace. All the new positions being created are at your mid-tier. So that's pulled the overall medium down. When you look at Malaysia as a market, the salaries are actually increasing. But one of the big issues, and you kind of hit on this, is that what candidates' expectation are from their salary increase to what's actually being offered by employers is a mismatch. And so people are talking about not being able to find talent. Companies are, you know, arguing about paying somebody an extra $100 a month for a position they've had vacant for 3 months. They then don't hire that person. My argument to, you know, employers is, what is the cost to your business to continue to have a critical role unfilled? So their employers, I suppose, a little bit battle weary from the constant pressure on salary. And I've been working in the Malaysian market for 6 years. It's constant pressure on salary in Malaysia, and people will leave jobs for very small amounts. Our expectation of candidates of what they will get.
Yeah. I want to stick with this salary thing. Sure. If people are willing to kind of jump ship for just a few hundred dollars more, a few hundred ringgit more, what do employers need to really be thinking about?
And it's a great question. So realistically, salary is actually the number three reason why people leave work in Malaysia. And it's high compared to other countries, but it's still only number three. The first reason people leave their companies is because of leadership. So they don't feel connected. They don't understand the vision or the values. They don't understand what role they play in the bigger picture of the organisation. The second reason people leave companies is because of their career and their development, so not being developed. And this is something, you know, after working in this market for many years now, I talk a lot to companies about, if you can't package an employee experience that allows them to be fairly rewarded, give some level of benefits, allows them to develop their career and where they can be accessible to the leadership, you will have churn, because that's what people want. They want to be engaged.
How much do one and two contribute to three? Meaning you said, you know, poor leadership or not being able to see the vision of the company and being engaged from that perspective. If one and two are not there, I might as well go for the pay.
And that's exactly what happens. And they're large contributors. People no longer want to work for companies that are hierarchical, for example. They want, you know, particularly when you look at the generations that we now have working in our workforce, Gen Y want to know the CEO. They want to have a voice. They want to give their opinion. And if an organisation isn't open to allowing that communication channel, then they leave.
So for companies to do things right, what do they need to do then? Because one of the things in your survey is that they don't provide training, still kind of falls low on the priorities.
Absolutely. So I believe in Malaysia right now, companies need to do three core things, and critical things really. The first is to have an employee value proposition. So they need to be very clear about what it is they offer to people coming into their organisation. And that's not just about my basic pay. That's about my annual leave. It's about flexible work. It's about, do I get parking? Unfortunately, that's a big thing in Malaysia. Parking is important. So their employee value proposition, and they need to be able to talk it. The second thing is the speed in which they hire. So, you know, taking 5 weeks or 6 weeks from a first interview to an offer is way too long.
What's the ideal?
The ideal is 2 weeks.
Wow.
If you are genuinely committed to recruiting the best talent in the market, you need to be fast. And then the third one really for me is about the checks and balances that you do as part of your process. So, you know, if you are looking to hire a critical talent and somebody who is going to be taking your company to the next step, then you need to be reference checking and you need to be qualifying that you are hiring the best person for the job based on skills.
Now, you've been described as, quote, a huge advocate of women in the workplace, and you've held several managing roles in the industry that is male-dominated. From that perspective, what do industries need to do so that, you know, it becomes a place where women are valued in the same way?
That's a good question. I believe workplaces need to give women a forum to have a voice. And my experience, having worked in 4 different countries or 5 different countries, is that typically women are less communicative about what they need. So men are very good at talking about what they need and what they want and where they want to go.
Yeah, how would you do that in a company? I mean, a lot of SMEs, I think they don't even have somebody who is in HR.
Exactly.
They've got an administrator. If I were an SME and you're sitting right in front of me, what would I need to do so that I create this space where women would have their voices heard so that I can respond to them?
I think it's really a couple of things. I think it's having forums that really engage with your female workforce and maybe doing those separate from male so that you get a different perspective, because men tend to be more domineering and that's a gross generalization. But, you know, creating environments where women are, it's safe to have some opinion. I think, you know, doing some climate surveys where either anonymous or open, but they're very great, good at giving you great insight into how your workforce is feeling. And that's not just your females, it's gender.
Kind of like a 360 for the
company. Absolutely. And I think the other thing really is actively look at the best person for the job rather than the person that's the loudest. And I think companies, again, when they promote internally, they don't necessarily go through a recruitment process.
No, you're right. It's a tendency to kind of put oil on the squeaky wheel.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, promote that one. Karen Clark, the regional director of Font, which focuses on recruiting for the marketing, digital, and creative industries. This is Her Vantage and Resource Center, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.